don't give up hope, that there always can be an answer to your problem, that even if a doctor tells you that, you know, they can't figure it out, there's always going to be someone who can figure out your problem.
Welcome back to Fit as a Fiddle. I'm your host, Dr. Sneha Ghazi. I am a physical therapist and owner of Sneha Physical Therapy, located in New York City. I'm also the founder and executive director of Physical Therapy International Service Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit that brings free PT resources, treatment, and education to underserved communities all over the world. I am obsessed with the fact that if you feel better inside and out, you live a better life. Each episode on Fit as a Fiddle brings you phenomenal guests in the health and wellness space who share inspiring tips and tangible advice. This podcast is for a community of people who want to keep their mind, body, and spirit healthy and thriving. Thanks for tuning in. Please subscribe, review, and enjoy today's show. Welcome to today's episode. Today we have Dr. Scott Greenberg joining us from Pennsylvania. He is a regenerative medicine specialist, and he published the first study through pre- and post-arthroscopy on how stem cells can heal a torn meniscus. So he's going to explain that to us, what that means. He's going to talk about regenerative medicine and overall how to optimize your health. So Dr. Greenberg, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this field.
You know, my story is really, I'd say a long one. And when I was a child, I actually wanted to be a retinal surgeon, believe it or not. And the reason why I wanted to is to actually cure my grandmother from macular degeneration. And I thought that we could figure out a way for the body to heal itself. Now, obviously my path didn't lead there, but unfortunately when I was 18 years old, I got hit by a drunk driver at 75 miles an hour. And that was really not a fun thing. And I had struggled for years with chronic headaches and neck pain and back pain. And I tried almost everything in order to heal myself. And I, you know, I went through college and med school and residency just being tortured. And it was 10 years of my life that were really just a not fun 10 years. And when I went to do my ophthalmology rotation at Hahnemann, where I went to med school, I actually could not see through the prisms in order to look through people's eyes. So the doctor who I was working with, who now he's still my doctor for my eyes and I take care of his joints, which is pretty ironic. And he basically told me, he's like, oh, you're not going to be a retinal surgeon. So, but with suffering for years afterwards, you know, I had chronic pain and it was not a fun thing to deal with. And I had searched for answers and, you know, I even had sinus surgery to see if that would help because no one was really giving me any type of reason as to why my head hurts so badly. And I would go to the doctor, student health all the time. I really didn't want to take pain medicine. And especially now, you know, we really didn't know anything about the opioid crisis because this was years and years ago. But I really wasn't into taking medicine. I was always into doing things naturally. And I was really very lucky that I was able to fix my problems myself. And how that happened was that I had read about regenerative medicine. I mean, keep in mind, this is, you know, 21, 22 years ago, and no one knew anything about this back then. And I had heard that Dr. Koop, who is the, you know, was the Surgeon General for President Reagan, who later became my patient, but back in the 1960s, he had a treatment on his back, which had helped him tremendously. So I figured that Dr. Koop was a very credible person and that what he was speaking about made sense to me. And I went to research it. And again, not to date myself, but this is before the internet. So I looked at medical journals and articles and whatever I could find and to try to find like a plausible mechanism for how to heal damaged tissue. And I was up one night, it was 3:30 in the morning, and I was writhing in pain. And my pain was usually right over my right eyebrow. And it felt like someone was taking the biggest drill bit you can think of, like something that would drill an oil well and drilling it into my skull. And it was really a very unpleasant feeling. And I dealt with this for years. My wife thought I was dying of brain cancer. I'm like, no, I'm not dying of brain cancer. I've already had MRIs and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. I said, I just hurt all the time. So I started examining myself and I started to feel a lot of tenderness in the back of my head and my skull and in my cervical spine. And it was, you know, really on the right side and not really on the left side. And that correlated to where my horrible headaches were. So I figured, you know what? I've dealt with this for 10 years. I have nothing left to, you know, nothing left to offer and really nothing to lose. Let's see what can happen. And thank God I had the chutzpah, and thank God I had the God-given skill in order to be able to inject my own cervical spine behind my head in the middle of the night while I was in agony. And, you know, I injected a lot of different places. And as I was telling one of my patients today who came in, you know, has had bad post-concussion syndrome, and I was telling her, you know, a lot of the things that I developed for patients, I actually, you know, tested on myself. In order to figure out all the different spots or locations for where the damage was coming from. And the blessing was is that the next morning I woke up and I actually felt a little bit better. So being a physician and being a skeptical one, I said, you know, I wonder if this is any placebo effect or what have you. But, you know, let's wait a few days and see what happens. And I actually felt a little bit better over the next few days. And things would wax and wane a little bit. And then I would treat myself and then treat myself again. And after about 4 months, my chronic headaches were gone. And, you know, that's been 21 years of having major relief from a significant problem that crippled me for 10 years of my life. So I knew there was something really to this and that it wasn't a placebo effect. And from then, I just started to develop more around this treatment and, you know, started to explore more and try to figure out more with the anatomy and more about joints and more about joint function. And, you know, this is how my love of regenerative medicine began, and also trying to help people that were in the same situation that I was in, to where they had been through a lot of different things. You know, things really weren't working that well for them. They weren't getting the answers that they needed. And, you know, what we're taught in medical school is, oh, well, you know, when something doesn't work, it's probably in the patient's head. You know, there's something wrong with the patient. And in my mind, there really isn't something wrong with the patient. It's just unfortunate we haven't thought enough in order to figure out how to help someone in many of these cases. And that's why patients get frustrated. So, you know, this is how I started doing what I do.
That is a truly inspiring story, and I'm so happy that you shared all of that with us. So, what is your overarching philosophy that is surrounding your passion for health, wellness, and healing?
So, from a philosophical basis, I was always very holistically oriented. And I was really interested in things that helped the body rather than traditional medicine, to where we're anti this, like antibiotics or anti-inflammatories or anti-hypertensives. I was more interested in things that would help the body with its natural processes, to try to heal the body, to try to make the body better. And this really rang with my own personal philosophy. So, you know, for most of my life, I've always been into exercise and eating healthy and eating my vegetables, not just because my mother told me that vegetables were good, but because I read about that there's anti-cancer agents in broccoli that help to fight off cancer. So if I can do something preventively for my own self and do something to take care of myself, then why wouldn't I? To me, that's, you know, self-preservation. So, and, you know, to tell you a little bit of a funny story. So, you know, as I mentioned, I take care of the ophthalmologist, the eye doctor who I worked with in medical school. I take care of his joints. And he came in, you know, we were probably talking. I said to him, his name's Harry. I said, Harry, you know, now that I'm, you know, I've done this for 20 years, you know, I think maybe I'll go back and be a retinal surgeon. You know, I've always wanted to do it. And he said to me, he said, listen, Scott, he's like, trust me. He's like, you know, stick with what you're doing. He said, you know, I always thought I wanted to be a teacher. And I went back to teach on the weekends, you know, to a religious school. And he said, the first month was great. He said, after that, I was ready to quit my job. Yeah. So he said, the grass isn't always greener and, you know, stick with what you're doing. He said, you're doing a great job. You're really helping a lot of people. And, you know, that's what he recommended. That's what I've done. So I haven't gone back to be a retinal surgeon. So,
well, we're thankful you are where you are right now.
Yeah. So I'll stick with helping people with pain. I think it's worked out pretty well for people.
Yeah. I mean, it's so clear that all of the work that you do is so mission driven and so purpose driven from your own experiences. And that's how you're able to heal your patients and really cater to their specific needs and listen to their stories. So can you dive into now, what is regenerative medicine? Because I think it's sometimes a foreign concept to a lot of people. So I'd love to hear from you what it is and some of the interventions that you offer in your clinic space for your patients.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, you know, I think that the whole premise of regenerative medicine is working with the body in order to help the body heal itself. And, you know, that could be on so many different levels, whether it's diet and eating the appropriate diet in order to, you know, reduce inflammation and prevent cancer and prevent heart disease, which we could certainly talk about, whether it's using, you know, high dose intravenous vitamins in order to make the immune system work better, or, you know, other types of things that you can give the patient intravenously in order to help their body heal itself from all different types of chronic conditions. Or work with autoimmune diseases in patients and help them not only understand, you know, what their disease is and not label them with the disease, but try to really help to make their body function properly so that it doesn't attack itself or find a reason why it's attacking itself. So this is, you know, some of the premise of regenerative medicine. But as I mentioned, you know, I specialize in trying to help the body heal itself from joint damage and ligament damage and tendon damage and chronic pain, to which, you know, the actual premise of it is very simplistic. And just imagine, you know, you're a young adult, okay, which I guess we all wish that we were nowadays, or at least I certainly wish I am. And I act like that most of the time, like a teenager, but, you know, for better or for worse. So nevertheless, let's say if, you know, you're a pitcher and you hurt your arm pitching. What happens to your arm? It gets a little sore. It might get a little swollen. It's a little bit achy. And what that's indicating is that, number one, there's a problem. But what it's doing is it's signaling the immune system to come to the damaged area. And what the immune system is doing is it's basically taking macrophages, which are sort of like the Pac-Men of the body, and the Pac-Men come in there and sort of chew up the debris of the damaged tissue. And then they secrete what's called cytokines, which are cell signals. And they sort of raise the red flag being like, hey, body, there's an injury here. There's a problem. And then the body sends the immune system into the damaged area in order to mend it. And that's why, you know, most people that get some type of injury, why they will heal, because their body makes it happen. So we want to work with these processes in order to help the body heal when it hasn't done it on its own. And in my toolbox for regenerative medicine, there are three main things that we use. The most simplistic thing is something known as prolotherapy. And prolotherapy means to proliferate or to regrow. And prolotherapy, I'm going to basically categorize it as an indirect way of healing. And what I mean by this is that the things that are used in prolotherapy that are injected into a damaged area are what's known as hypertonic, meaning that they have a chemical nature of high pressure, okay? It's just a chemical property. You don't have to worry about the term hypertonic too much. But that hypertonicity makes the body draw out some of the healing factors out of the damaged area. And then again, we'll stimulate the immune system to come to the damaged area and repair the part that's injured.
So this is like osmosis that we learned in fifth grade.
Yeah, so it's like osmosis, exactly right. It is an osmotic agent. And that's why these things are hyperosmotic, they're hypertonic, in order to draw out healing factors from the damaged tissue. PRP has gotten more popular. I've used it for about 18 years now or so, and it's gotten more popular as some of the pro athletes, like, unfortunately, may he rest in peace, Kobe Bryant had it. The Dallas Mavericks actually use it a lot now with their athletes. And there's been many other, you know, I've taken care of a lot of pro players also that we've treated with PRP for their sports injuries. And that's how it's gotten some of its popularity. But it's been used for years and years and years. So PRP is essentially where we take out the patient's blood, and from the blood, we extract out the healing factors, the growth factors, the good cytokines that trigger a reaction in the body. And this solution gets injected into, and I'm going to say and around, and which we'll talk about more in regards to diagnosis, but injected into the problem areas. And I'm going to say areas because it's almost never, and I'm sure you found this also in your physical therapy work, it's almost never to where a patient has an isolated problem. Even if they think their problem is isolated, it's usually complex. And that's why isolated treatment doesn't work. That's why things have to work in concert and have to work physiologically, which we'll talk about. Interestingly enough, PRP got its start in the 1980s, and it was actually used by heart surgeons. So what the heart surgeons would do is they would use PRP and make it into a gel. And the reason why they did this was because the bypass grafts that they would make for people that had heart disease would sometimes leak and would be a big problem for the person. So they would take this PRP and put it around the bypass in order to act almost like a super glue, in order to help the bypass graft heal quicker. And there was less leakage and less problems.
I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yeah, which is really, really neat. That they basically, back in the 1980s, they were using the body's chemistry and making it almost into like a glue in order to make your own tissue heal. So this is one of the, you know, the progenitors to what we do in sports, you know, in sports medicine and orthopedics. So really, really cool stuff.
That's so cool. Very neat. So we've basically already been doing it, but now we've just streamlined it into a very specific way.
Exactly. And also some people have, you know, used it for wounds and for bone fractures, to which myself being an athlete, unfortunately, I've had to do that myself. I got checked once really badly in hockey and I had broken ribs and they weren't healing. And I was in agony for 2 weeks straight. And I thought to myself, oh, you're a dummy. Like, you suffered for 2 weeks. You should have just injected yourself right away and made your fracture heal. And I literally injected into my ribs. And within a day or so, my fracture was probably about 75% better after 2 weeks of just being miserable. So because, again, the same types of healing factors, that's what your body uses to heal a broken bone. So, you know, we see patients off once in a while that have what's called non-union, to where they have a fracture that's not healing. And you can take PRP or stem cells and inject it into the fracture area and make it heal, which is really neat.
Great segue. So stem cells, tell us a little bit about what they are.
Yeah, so stem cells are very neat. And just so people understand, you know, number one, stem cells don't come from dead babies or aborted fetuses and things like that. Stem cells are within all of us, and we all have healthy living stem cells. And in fact, there's two types of stem cells that we have. There's stem cells, and I'm going to quiz everyone on this podcast, okay, if they can pronounce the names of these stem cells. So there's what's called hematopoietic stem cells, and there's also mesenchymal stem cells. Now, hematopoietic stem cells are cells that go and make blood tissue. So when you've heard about patients who get a bone marrow transplant for their cancer, they're getting hematopoietic stem cells in order to help their body make the proper bone marrow and help their cancer. Mesenchymal tissue is different. Mesenchymal tissue doesn't make blood, but it basically makes everything else in the body, you know, whether it's bone or cartilage or muscle or what have you. This is mesenchymal tissue. So most of the mesenchymal stem cells, while they're made in the bone marrow also, they get stored in the adipose or our fat tissue. This is where they're stored. So then the body uses these mesenchymal cells and will help to repair the body or just turn things over. Like our liver turns over, you know, basically every, you know, year or two. And it's done by the use of mesenchymal stem cells. So this is how the body regenerates on its own.
So you're telling me that fat cells are not always bad.
They're not always bad. So interestingly enough, you know, we harvest fat from patients. And we do so, not only is it more comfortable than harvesting bone marrow, but fat is somewhat magical. Not only does it contain a lot of stem cells, but it also contains cells called pre-adipocytes and pericytes. And these cells, which basically are forms of fat cells, actually have, and I'm going to throw another big word at you, actually have a chondrogenic ability. And what chondrogenic means is they have the ability to help make cartilage. So the fat is really very unique in that we can add the growth factors, we can add the stem cells, and we can add these pericytes and pre-adipocytes into the area. And like I showed in my research, this can help heal cartilage, like a torn meniscus or also a torn labrum. It can also secrete anti-arthritic proteins and help patients with arthritic shoulders, thumbs, knees, toes, hips, and all these areas, and help these patients feel better. And often help them feel better when cortisone doesn't work or the medicines called viscosupplementation medicines like Synvisc or Orthovisc when these medicines don't work. So they're really very, very neat tools. And you just have to understand the chemistry behind them and how to separate out the right cells and how to use what you need for the right application in order to make a successful treatment.
Very neat. Very cool. That's a lot of amazing information. And it's clear that, you know, between PRP, prolotherapy, and stem cells, they have different indications and different ways that they're used. So do you want to dive into any patient stories or cases that you have?
So first of all, you know, I think that this is something that should resonate with you a lot, is that no matter what the cases are, no matter what the problems are, is that you have to look at the body as a whole. The one thing I really want to emphasize is that even though, as I said, these treatments can be magical, it's like anything else. It has to be used properly. And I can assure you that just taking an injection of stem cells or whatever it is and putting it into one part of the joint and hoping you're going to get a good result is going to give us a very poor yield. We need to look at the body as a whole and look at it as a functional system. And this is how we get success, is not just by treating what we see on the x-ray or on the MRI, but understanding function and understanding kinesiology. So I'll give you an example of a case study of someone who I saw recently. So this is an individual, athletic, tore his meniscus and didn't want to have surgery because unfortunately studies have shown that when you're a little bit older, and I'm not talking old, I'm just talking a little bit older, meaning not in your 20s or what have you, that if you tear your meniscus and if you have a little bit of arthritis in your knee, But having arthroscopic surgery to trim that meniscus actually makes the meniscus worse. And this is not just something that I'm telling you. This is something that was published in major, major journals like The Lancet, like New England Journal of Medicine, like JAMA, where they studied thousands and thousands and thousands of patients. So taking out the meniscus actually made patients worse when it was done surgically. So we tried to regenerate the meniscus. But I can tell you that if I just injected into the meniscus and that's all that I focused on, my results probably would be somewhat mediocre. But I really want to get my patients the best results possible. So you have to analyze the patient's gait. You have to look at how they walk. Because let's say if a patient has an arch that's collapsing, what happens is that their leg's going to rotate in and it's going to put pressure on the meniscus. And even if you get it to heal, eventually it's going to fail again. Furthermore, I don't think I've ever seen a patient in my 21 or 22 years of doing this that has a meniscal issue or an arthritic knee that does not have some type of damage to their medial collateral ligament. And this is one of the most important things I can say, because this ligament, it's on the inside of the knee. It's kind of like the body's internal knee brace. And if you don't have good support in your medial collateral ligament and there's subacute damage in it, then your knee just does not work well. And it's really hard to go up and down stairs. It's hard to bend your knee. Your knee's stiff when it gets up, when you get up. And also, it can produce pain in amongst itself. And unfortunately, even with the best MRI technology that we have, even if someone gets a 3 Tesla MRI, which basically has to do with the strength of the magnet, I've seen so many cases to where the MRI is not showing a single amount of damage to the MCL, but we examine the patient and they're tender there.
No one can see me, but I'm nodding my head vigorously because I completely agree. Everything is connected. We have a kinetic chain, our core unit, our hips, our knees, our ankles. Everything is so connected.
Absolutely. And getting back to that kinetic chain, you know, it's so important to make sure, I know you work a lot with people with pelvic issues, to make sure that their pelvis is level, that there's no obliquity there, and that the pelvis isn't being pulled from one side to another, because that's going to throw off your gait. And, you know, it's really a fun thing that when you have patients that come in limping and they don't realize that their pelvis is entirely off, and, you know, with me, I fix it with injection, and you fix their pelvis and you set it level and set it even, that then they walk out and they're not limping anymore. And it's like a miracle. And it's so much fun to see the look on the patient's face, how they just went from struggling to walk to almost instantaneously walking better and having better balance. And this is really important also for my older individuals, that sometimes they come in, they're like, hey, you know, I've fallen a few times, I feel off balance. And when you're in your 70s or 80s and you're falling, it's really scary stuff, because if you break a hip, that's associated, you know, with a really bad outcome. So keeping a person's balance nice and level is so important.
Yeah, and it's also important for people to know that, you know, your body isn't perfectly symmetrical to begin with. And so it's not about the perfect symmetry, but it's the balance, like you just said, where if one side is being overused and one side is being underused, or there's, you know, an alignment issue that's making you limp in a certain way or change your gait pattern in a certain way, that affects the whole body. And so just an understanding of that, how connected the body is and how, you know, we need to look at the full body, not just the problem area, like you said, it's just incredibly important to heal.
Right. And that's why, unfortunately, like I get very disheartened when I see people, and sometimes these people go to very, very good institutions, but, you know, they have, you know, received stem cell treatments or PRP treatments where literally people are taking one shot and putting it into the joint and they think it's a treatment. And then, you know, they had a lot of confidence in it because people think stem cells are magical, and then it doesn't work. And then it gives our field a bad name because, unfortunately, it's more of a technique rather than, you know, that the actual treatment is bad.
Yeah. And now, is there anything else that you want to add on, you know, PRP, stem cells, or prolotherapy, or any of the interventions inside of regenerative medicine before we get into prevention?
Sure. So, you know, I'll talk about a few different things. And, you know, first of all, I think that it's important for a person to know that don't give up hope, that there always can be an answer to your problem, that even if a doctor tells you that, you know, they can't figure it out, there's always going to be someone who can figure out your problem. And, you know, there's many complex interactions in the body. And I'll give you, you know, I know you asked me to talk about a few cases. So, you know, today I saw a young woman who had multiple head injuries, and she couldn't track objects very easily. And she had blurred vision along with her headaches and everything else that she was suffering from. You know, she had very bad post-concussion syndrome. And I found that some of her issue was that her cervical spine was compressing the brainstem in regards to how the spinal fluid would flow around the brainstem. And this is interfering with her nerve function. So doing a few different maneuvers and some type of treatment to her actually helped her be able to coordinate her movement between, you know, her eyes and her fingers so that she could now focus a little bit better. And as so she was, they looked for a neurological problem with her that couldn't be found, but really the answer was that she had damage to the back of her cervical spine and the base of her skull that was interfering with the coordination centers of her brain.
I love it. You're just out there finding all the zebras and then fixing all of them.
Yes, you have to look at those things. You have to look at those things. And it's the same thing with patients who have spinal problems. And, you know, I think a real important takeaway from this is that, you know, if we take healthy 60-year-old people off the street and we MRI all of their spines to look for back problems, the vast majority of these patients are going to have abnormalities on MRIs. And this is not necessarily correlated with pain, because as I mentioned, these were completely asymptomatic people that were tested. So just because someone has a herniated disc, or because they have a slippage in their spine, or because they have spinal stenosis, doesn't mean that all of the answers are found in the MRI finding, because the spine is connected to the sacrum, which is connected to the pelvis, which is connected to the hips, and all these structures have to work together, and they function together. And I often tell people that this is kind of like our body's Eiffel Tower, and how the structure of the Eiffel Tower, how the top of the Eiffel Tower certainly can't function very well without the bottom of the Eiffel Tower. So if there's an imbalance in any of these areas, or as I mentioned, if there is a tilt in the pelvis, it puts tremendous pressure on the spine. So, you know, this could cause nerve compression. It could cause numbness and tingling down the leg that people commonly call sciatica. So it's really a neat thing to where we see people that have nerve damage and they're told that it won't get better. And fortunately, through our techniques, we've been able to make a lot of these patients better by figuring out what the problem is, not just by what's on their MRI. And then, as I mentioned, using the appropriate tools in the appropriate place in order to rebuild the damage.
Super. So now let's get into prevention and prophylaxis. So if you had, you know, your big PSA of 2 to 3 things that you tell everybody, to optimize their health and prevent the bad parts of the aging process, what would those tips be?
Well, I think that this is a great question. And, you know, this is something that, again, you know, applies to me because I have the worst genetics in the world in regards to my family history. I have cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, all those things in my family, and I plan on beating them all. And the nice thing about our genetics is that even though it's kind of a program for how our body is, it doesn't necessarily mean of how our body is going to function. And this is known as epigenetics, to where your body has the ability to adapt to its situation. So essentially, I want to do everything for my body to make it function optimally. And I think that most people should do something the way that I do things. And, you know, look, there might need to be variations because it's not one size fits all, but the better that you treat your body, the better your body is going to treat you. And just to give an example with myself, you know, when I was younger, you know, I didn't do as much cardio activity and I wasn't eating as nicely as I was now. And my good cholesterol wasn't so good. And I was really upset by this because I was relatively healthy, but I was able to get my good cholesterol to double to where now it's 60 instead of 30. And that really helps to reduce my risk of heart disease. And how I did it, which is something that I recommend to people, is really to try to reduce your sugars as much as possible. And that could, you know, that's the refined sugars, that's the white flours, the white breads, things like that. Staying more with whole foods, like the majority of, you know, nuts and seeds and lean proteins. You know, I do eat, you know, some meat products like, you know, lean chicken. Occasionally I'll eat, you know, some turkey or lamb or occasionally beef. It's not my favorite, but I'll have it on occasion. I like fish and I eat a lot of vegetables, you know, leafy greens and things like that. I do eat some whole grains like, you know, oats. I do try to avoid as much gluten as possible. I have nuts every day and thank God I'm not allergic. I eat, you know, berries that are full of antioxidants. And I try to, you know, take good care of myself that way. And I think that a healthy diet helps to promote a healthy body. You know, this type of diet has been shown to reduce overall systemic inflammation in the body. And systemic inflammation is linked to everything from cancer to osteoporosis to osteoarthritis to heart disease to diabetes. So the better we take care of our body, we're really reducing the risk of, you know, the top 10 major diseases that affect people just by simply eating healthy. And again, you know, I recommend whole grains if you can tolerate them, because some people can't tolerate gluten, especially in America with how our food is processed. But I recommend, you know, nuts if you're not allergic, especially the tree nuts, and, you know, some lean proteins and a lot of vegetables and salads, leafy greens, things like that. Another thing that I think is really important is your outlook on life. And I think things like meditation and yoga, or if need be, you know, even psychotherapy is important for people to understand your thoughts and to try to reduce your anxiety and reduce your depression and elevate your mood, because this is how our brain chemicals, how they release the different, what's called neurotransmitters or brain signals. So if we're in a depressed mood all the time, our brain is going to release different chemicals than if we're in a happy mood. And, you know, we've had people that come in that they're struggling with their weight. And if they're stressed all the time, then the chemicals that are released from their brain actually may make them hold on to their weight compared to people who aren't as stressed. It really affects the body. And, you know, stress can make your blood pressure can go up. It can cause heart disease. It can cause strokes. So I think reducing your stress and having an overall good outlook on life is really important. And then I think one of the third pillar, you know, in regards to taking care of your body, besides getting good rest, is also exercise. And I think exercise is really important for people. I think that people need to do a combination of strength training and cardiovascular training, even if that's, you know, involves taking walks and doing body weight exercises, especially now, you know, if you can't go to a gym, you know, doing some body weight exercises and, you know, getting out there, getting some fresh air, you know, looking at the birds and hearing them chirp, looking at the beautiful sky. Being out with nature, it's one of my favorite things to do. And I think not only does it help your perspective in life, but it helps you stay physically strong. And I think if you can stay physically strong, then you can stay mentally strong as well. And mentally strong doesn't mean that you're going to let everything bounce off of you or that nothing's ever going to affect you. But it means being able to get through the tough times and trying to, you know, persevere them and get through the hardships and hopefully learn from the hardships and then get to enjoy the good times, because, you know, another hardship's going to come down the line, no matter who we are or what we are. And then it's a matter of having the strength in order to get through that and persevere and continue to try to enjoy the good things in life.
Beautifully said, beautifully put. I really appreciate your time here, Dr. Greenberg, in educating the audience on how to improve the quality of their life, because I think that that's really the underlying mission and really everything that we're talking about here today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many wonderful, you know, pieces of wisdom that you had to offer us. You come with a so much experience in this field, both from a, you know, regenerative medicine perspective, but also everything you just said about prevention and holistic healing, just taking care of your body. So we're very grateful to have you and for our audience to be able to learn from you. And I hope everybody is able to take something away from what Dr. Greenberg has shared with us today. So thank you so much. And tell us how people can get in touch with you.
Thank you so much for having me. And also, if anyone wants to like us on Facebook, on our site, Greenberg Regenerative Medicine, post things from time to time, whether it's news or information or things inspirational, or even some things that I'm doing like surfing or skiing or having fun, you know, because we have to all enjoy life. And, you know, I'm always here for our patients and for our community. So if anyone has any issues or problems, please feel free to reach out to me.
Great. And I'll link all of that onto the show notes, and it'll be on Facebook and Instagram. Wonderful. So if people are in the Pennsylvania area, you can head on over to check out Dr. Greenberg's space. And even if you're not, he treats people from all over the world. So thank you so much, Dr. Greenberg.
Thank you so much.
A big thank you to everyone who listened to today's episode. Thank you for investing in yourself and your well-being. The goal here is to educate and be educated. If you learned something new today, please subscribe, rate, and review. It means the world. I will see you again next week with an exciting new guest and topic to share with all of you.